is on the fan hotline right now. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Busy weekend at the Hall of Fame, huh?
Hi, Scott.
Saw some good-looking pictures of you guys.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. We got to see Mary Kay get the Bill Nunn Award and get in the Hall of Fame. It was awesome.
Your day is coming, my friend. Jeff and I agree.
Hey, okay.
Jeff and I, your day is coming. We got you.
You're in, baby.
You're in. You're in our Hall of Fame. You're in the Baskin and Phelps Hall of Fame. Does it get any better than that?
Well, there you go. No, is there a big ceremony for that?
Yeah.
Nor is there a financial reward.
No, we don't even have the... Can we print them out a piece of paper?
Nope.
No? We tried. Scott, tell me about the quarterback situation right now. How do you think it's playing out?
I mean, it's Joe Flacco versus Kenny Pickett, and with Kenny Pickett not being able to be in team drills, I think it's a significant advantage for Joe Flacco. And I think the other part of that is Kenny Pickett's advantage over Joe Flacco, in my opinion, is his mobility. And the Browns like that. They like that he can make off-schedule plays. I mean, when we talked to Kenny on Saturday, he said that even when he gets back into team drills, and we don't know when that will be, he's going to have to stay in the pocket. And he can't run the way he usually does because of that hamstring. And I think that really hurts Pickett in this competition.
The Pickett situation is what right now, Scott? How much is he doing? How much is he able to do? And do you think he'll do anything this week?
Yeah, I mean, we saw him Friday and Saturday before they were off yesterday, and it was individuals and one-on-ones. So he's throwing the ball, but it's not team drills, and that's where, I would say the bulk of the evaluation happens is team drills and, getting the play out and getting guys to the line of scrimmage and reading the defense and making those adjustments and then making the right decisions after that. So he hasn't been able to do it. And, we haven't seen practice yet today, but I didn't – from Saturday talking to Kenny, it didn't feel like it would be as early as today. Is he ready to go in Carolina for that one joint practice? I don't know if you want to risk it. I can't imagine he plays in the preseason game. So then you're looking at really 2 weeks without team drills, unless he gets out there today or Wednesday. So I think that is, and he acknowledged it. That's a significant setback, as Kenny Pickett is determined still to win this job. I think it's a big setback for him.
Scott, do you think either if Pickett's, let's say Kenny is able to play in the game, do you think either veteran actually will play, or do you think it's going to be all Gabriel and Sanders?
Nah, I mean, I think it's a half for each rookie.
Okay.
I don't think either veteran would play. And even if they wanted to get a longer look at Kenny, I think the hamstring rules that out.
Okay.
Do you also think that's based on the fact that they've got the joint practice? Is that why? A little bit?
Yeah, I do. I think that's part of it. And then the other part is, are you playing your other starters in the preseason opener? If Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku aren't playing and your offensive line's not playing, do you really go with Pickett and Flacco? And I don't know. I know that they're, trying to increase the intensity and the urgency and get ready for week one. So I could be wrong. I just think coming off the one joint practice, given where they are, I just envision we're going to see the rookies. But Kevin Stefanski has not said that for sure.
What do you think happens with the rest of the offense in the preseason game? We're going to see starters. We're going to see backups. What?
Yeah, I think you will see starters at some point. I don't think you'll see starters for all three games. I think with the age of the offensive line, there's not a whole lot of need to put, Betonio and Posick and Teller and Conklin out there a lot. Maybe get DeJuan Jones to get him a lot of reps at left tackle. I can see that. You're thin at running back, so do you really need to play Jerome Ford? I wouldn't think so. I think you'll see a lot of, Dylan Sampson and Pierre Strong Jr. At running back. Again, you're thin at receiver. We have Jerry Jeudy and then question marks. So that's what's difficult about managing this, because I understand how everybody wants to, fans want to see the starters get the reps and want to see them get ready for week one, and that is important. But it's also important getting your best guys to week one and try to get them through week 17. So, our 14 snaps in Carolina really going to help Jerry Jeudy when they're playing the Bengals week one? I don't know. And I don't think – I've never gotten the sense that the Browns feel like those are that important and that staying healthy is more important. So we'll have to see if that philosophy changes.
Do they need to go out and pick up another running back?
You know what? You know, they signed somebody from the UFL last week. They got a couple of guys I mentioned. Yeah, I just didn't want to butcher his name.
That's I think I just did for you, so we're good.
Thank
as long as one of us did.
No worries. Double T, that's what I call
it. There you go. You know, they have another undrafted rookie that has been getting some carries, a big guy out of Appalachian State. So I think they're okay right now, but it's almost like receiver. I think when the cutdowns come at the end of the preseason, you could see additions at running back and at receiver. I don't know if you'll see anything big before then. I mean, they brought in some receivers throughout camp, but like a guy that you thought could win a roster spot, that could change and could happen when we get to cutdowns and waiver claims.
So Eric Edholm from NFL.com put out 7 landing spots for Micah Parsons. He had the Browns listed, and I thought, well, I love that. Tell me how in the world that could possibly happen, and I'll get really excited. They couldn't bring in somebody making that kind of money, could they?
I don't think so. You're paying Miles. I mean, can you pay your 2 defensive ends $80 million a year?
I don't think so. That,
right? I don't think so either. And they're still in a bad cap spot. That just doesn't seem realistic to me. I think they have to spend their money elsewhere.
How about Terry McLaurin?
Now, that's an interesting one because obviously the need is there.
Yeah.
You know, Terry's not as young as he used to be. Will the Browns heavily invest at that spot? They're probably going to have to pay Jerry Jeudy, you know, before next year. I would think that he gets a significant pay raise, assuming, you know, he plays as well as he did last year. So it makes more sense. Terry McLaurin, I don't know if where the Browns are from a roster standpoint and a salary cap standpoint, if they will make any big splashes. I mean, we didn't see them do that in free agency, right? They did not sign a huge money guy. I don't think that changes just because of the trade. You know, and plus now you'd have to give up things in a trade, right, to get McLaurin. So I don't think so, but I wouldn't rule it out just because of the position.
Scott, can we read in anything about them going live last week, even if it was for one play or two plays? I mean, the fact that they did that and Kevin hasn't done that since he's been here, does that say something?
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes, Andy. And it wasn't just a couple plays. It was a whole period. I don't have my notes in front of me, but it might have been 12 plays. And then they went live again Saturday.
Yeah.
And Saturday felt a little different, where the whistle was really quick from Kevin Stefanski. So, you know, I think it's okay. Well, it's a tackle, but nobody pile on. Do we really don't have to drive all the way to the ground type of thing? But to me, it's the next step in, okay, they didn't practice hard enough last year. There wasn't enough pace to practice last training camp. I don't think there was a sense of urgency. And again, part of that was because Deshaun Watson's coming off the shoulder and you had to be careful. But it just felt slower to me. And then they go 3-14. And, you know, I'm not saying it's all cause and effect, but if you're the Browns and you're looking, okay, how can we change things? What needs to be fixed? That's been a conscientious effort on their part to raise the intensity, raise the contact. I feel like practice looks completely different than it did a year ago. And taking players to the ground, live tackling was the next step in that. So, yeah, I think it's significant. I think it was a realization that what they did last year didn't work, and they have to change things. And another part of that is, you know, the beginning of the schedule. These first 6 games are really difficult. How do we best get prepared for this gauntlet to start the season? And it's getting as physically and mentally prepared as possible in training camp.
Scott, the one thing about that, and I agree with everything you just said, but Kevin's going into his 5th year. Shouldn't he know how to – And I like him. I think he can coach. But it almost seems like he's still trying to find himself and exactly what type of team he wants to have. I mean, because this is a pretty drastic change, you know, at this point in his tenure, isn't it?
Yeah, I do think it is a significant change, Jeff. I don't know if it's so much about Kevin finding himself. I think it's a willingness to be flexible and to say what we did. You know, what we did didn't work. And I don't think tackling in practice is the end-all, be-all. I'm not sure that equates to whether or not you win a Super Bowl. So if the Browns are good this year or better this year, whatever, I could see Kevin Stefanski looking at his team next year and liking where the mentality was and saying, we don't have to tackle to the ground. We still need to increase the intensity and the urgency and all those things, but that's not necessary, and I'm trying to keep guys healthy, which is the main goal of not tackling, right? It's to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I understand that as a priority. I just think last year the scales kind of tipped too much in the other direction, and this is kind of a correction, of course.
Scott, I got like 1 minute left here. I just, what is fair? Like, I hear people say, I want to see a fair battle between these four quarterbacks. And, you know, it feels like since Shador isn't getting reps with the ones, that it's not fair to him. I don't know how you define that.
Or maybe they're setting him up to succeed because they don't think he's ready for it yet.
See, Jeff, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's not fair if you're talking about an equal evaluation. Because unless everybody's getting the exact same number of reps with the first-team offense against the first-team defense, things are going to be skewed. I also think the Browns have more knowledge about these four guys. And they know if Shedeur Sanders – I think they know if Shedeur Sanders is ready to go against the ones. And if they think he's still a ways away from being your starting quarterback, which I think that's how they feel, then is there really a necessity to give him those one reps when – you're still deciding between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and you're still trying to get one of those guys ready for week one? I think you can make an argument that those reps would be wasted, that Shedeur Sanders would get them. Now, I would love to see him because I think it's interesting and I think it gives you some nugget there, but I don't think Shedeur Sanders is ready to be a starter, and I think the Browns know that and have known that.
The other question here, too, is it fair maybe they've said, hey, we want to keep the two guys we drafted. One of the vets is going to get cut. And so it's fair because you're going to be on the roster when the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's completely possible. I mean, I expect both rookies to be here, and I think it's a question whether or not they keep all four. And if they don't keep all four, I do think one of the veterans would be the one to leave, not one of the rookies.
Brown Zone, Scott Petrick, make sure you read it every day if you want to know what's going on with the Browns. Scott, you're the greatest. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.